Our first presenter, Yakov Pachepsky, will present Soils and Public Health, a Microbially Mediated Nexus.
Thank you, John. Okay, let's start with a simple thing. What is public health? And I need to read it. So public health is the science and the art of preventing disease, prolonging life, and promoting human health through organized efforts and informed choices of society, organizations, public and private, communities, and individuals. And the point here is communities. What a society, a community, or some group is doing. So let me start. If we look at the soil services to public health, we can define three spheres: medicines and healing, food and water availability, and food and water quality and safety. And I'll be talking mostly on the food and water quality and safety. Now I need to find the mouse.
It's just on the keypad.
All right, got it. Thank you. And let me start with taking you to Russia, to small Republic of Adygea. This is a red speck at the left side. It's a small mountain republic, Muslim place, mostly pasture lands in the rural area, some cities, resorts. What they did, they looked at the statistics, and they have a soil quality measurement. And they try to see how the soil quality correlates to the health statistics. And what they find is, if you look at the right side, for example, the cold and flu, and the left side we have cold in 2004-2005, and soil quality rank. So it's a very good correlation. Yeah? And the same correlation with infectious diseases in general. Question is this type of correlation you can find between the umbrellas on the London streets and car accidents? You know that the car accidents are caused by umbrellas. So is there some kind of mechanism beneath this? In fact, when people were looking at the soil and public health, it go through millennia. The Greeks started when people understood that, you know what, not all diseases come from gods, they come from somewhere else. And Greeks recognized it because they were doing colonizations. They did colonizations, they would go from one place to another, they need to decide, is it worthwhile to put colony there or not? And the Hippocrates, the great Greek medical authority, wrote a special instruction how to use information about soils actually decide whether the place is good. Then the Romans did the same thing, and they used animals as a biological tests for the soil quality in terms of the human health. Then in China there was a lotus sect, which of course became a dynasty, and they built their ideology of the relationship between the soil and public health. There was a great mayor in London who was relating plague and epidemics to the soil status. And in England, there was an epidemic society which was looking specifically on the role of the soil in the public health. And of course, when the Robert Koch opened, made his discovery, well, this thing became, to some extent, common. So what was happening in 20th century? There were two groups. One group was looking at the soil properties that are really bad for the public health, and they were drumming it. And then there was another group who were looking for the soil properties that are good for the public health, and they also were drumming this. So what they were essentially in and out, but they just didn't talk to each other. And the medical, the geology, it was really bad stuff, and organic farming and nature farming and the relative, they were good stuff. And it was the names which were basically forgotten for a while, but these people created a great ideology of how the good health is good for your, for the human health and for the public health. So the Alexis Carrel, that was actually the first Nobel laureate who was talking about the role of the soil in public health, The lady Barbara Balfour, she set a lot of experimental sites in England teaching. And Howard, Albert Howard, was doing this in the colonies, in India, in Caribbean. Rodale, of course, it's a publishing empire on these topics. William Ablett was the first one who really did it in the respected university. And Mokichi Okada, he organized basically a religion based on this ideology. And of course, there were completely different things done by the medical geology, which are very important. This is iodide deficiency, which causes the disability all over the world. And then there are this MAPS thing. This is China and the developers in China. And also, there is a lot of work done with these people. They just didn't talk to the people who were talking about the soil quality and soil public health. Soil-borne pathogenic microorganisms were of interest, and now it's a big thing in developing countries. Of course, we know that the millions of people are dying because of the pathogenic organisms. But something happens in the United States. If you look at this graph, this is the percentage of the produced associated sicknesses. And in the 70s, it was only 0.7%. In the 90s, it was about 6-7%. Now it's practically 50%. Half of all sicknesses are caused by the produce. And then, okay, contaminated water and soil are the main culprits here. This is just the graph. We have the database on the die-off of microorganisms, including pathogenic microorganisms. If we look at this database, collect all the data on the decimation time in the population of E. coli 0157H7 serotype in soil. This is the pathogenic one. It's really bad for the people who have immune deficiencies. So, the larger temperature is, the faster they die. And this is understandable. What is not understandable, really? Why there is a big range of these? At each temperature, you have about almost order or half order and a half magnitude that difference. So where the difference are coming from? Now we're in the 21st century. So what happens? Well, we have absolutely revolutionary tools. And one of these tools is, of course, the metagenomics, which really creates the structure of the population in which pathogens are living and or dying. And then we also have the computer tomography. That's another one, which I'm trying to reach with the mouse. And this thing is magic because it creates knowledge about the habitat, where they live. So we really need to know not only the structure of the population of microbes, but also the structure of the physical pore space where they are. And this, using these tools, we are getting interesting hypotheses. What's going on? One of them is the soil eutrophication hypothesis. And what it is, what's observed? The survival of this O157H7 in soils increased in fields with a history of low quality fertilization. So you have artificial fertilizer, you have slurry, you don't have manure, and this guy survived better. So what? Here's the proposed explanation, which essentially is this hypothesis. So the chemical fertilizer, slurry, they create more readily available nutrients from slurry, plus urea-based, ammonium-based, causes temporary solubilization of soil organic matter. And then E. coli, it's an interesting organism. It maintains high metabolic rate in soil. So he just wants to live. And or he or she, I don't know, eat. And what happens, positive selection with potentially high growth rates, like this one, plus lower competition pressure, creates better survival of this invader, which is E. coli O157. Another hypothesis, which is the diversity hypothesis, what was observed? The survival of E. coli O157 was higher in soils with less complex microbial systems. And also highly diverse soil microbial communities act as a biological barrier against Listeria monocytogenes invasion. So what's the explanation, proposed explanation, something to look at? The enhanced survival of E. coli was due to lowering of soil microbiota complexity, and it's a result of lower degree of overlapping functionalities. Each one had a niche. And then it's easy to find the niche. So biodiversity and community complexity decreases when applied manure or low quality like slurry, high and easily available nutrients. The more food you have, the better survival invaders. That's basically the same thing. Another hypothesis which showed up recently is this endophytic bacterial community resistances to pathogen colonization. The idea here is that really the microbiotic community in the plant and in soil, they create some kind of continuous connected system. So what they observed, the more Salmonella survived in inoculated leaves on plant growth on conventional than organic soil. So why? Well, the one explanation is the changes in soil quality affect plant resistance to colonization by microorganisms. And then plants can exploit microbial consortia from soil to protect themselves against infection. So if I click twice, so what really happens now, we can see that organic farming, nature farming are kind of going closer to what medical geology was telling us, and that's a very good thing. So there are some matters to be learned, understood, applied, soil medicine, scale effects, soil degradation, public health degradation, and public health records and soil quality. And I'll talk a little bit about soil as a medicine and medicine source. Now we have this incredible advances of using soil microorganisms in different variants for against tuberculosis, MRSA, and cancer. The soils and mental health is dirt and new Prozac. It was buzz 5 years ago, but that's actually true. The soil contains things which makes you healthy. And now we have about more 100 million of people are practicing geophagy. They eat soil in Africa. Why do we do this? And finally, the contact with soil trains, looks like at least, it trains immune system. So it's what they call hygiene hypothesis. This graph is asthma prevalence and use of asphalt, and generally speaking, this contact with soils indeed affects the susceptibility to asthma. So just several take-home messages here. So the role of soil in public health is tremendous and appears to be underappreciated. Second thing is contact between humans and soil is very ancient, and understanding will pay off because we all came from this side. Studies have to be interdisciplinary. What happens these days, if you go to any university, say a big university, they have a project on soil and public health. There are no soil scientists involved. It comes from the public health departments. Go to your universities and look at them. Onset of technical advances holds a great promises indeed. It's very expensive, but it seems to pay. Monitoring microbial functions and species diversity is a must. We are not doing this, but essentially we will be able to do this. Not only soil, but other environmental media, of course, affects health, and there should be parallel measurements. That's understandable. We don't have any idea how the climate change will change this relationship between human change and soil. We need to upscaling in outscaling methodology, and this is something which we also don't have. But if you look at the big events, let's say the Dust Bowl, there were very interesting consequences for the public health. Changes in public health need to be documented. If large scale soil improvements or degradation goes on, and we have regions where this actually happens now. So I would conclude with the fact that soil quality is really a public health component. Thank you for your attention.